number 249.
On the everlasting. good to be here this morning, and good to see you, Ms. Carolyn. Got her some extra wheels there, but she's here. We appreciate it. I can't think of anywhere I'd rather be this morning in the house of the Lord. Good to see each and every one of you. There's still several missing. Last Sunday, I think, deer hunting and travelers and everything, half of us were gone. We missed you if you were gone, and we understand. And God does as well, but we're glad to have you back. To our visitors, welcome. We just welcome you here and invite you to just be a part of this as we try to serve God and worship His name. Good singing. Appreciate the good singing. We have a thank you card. We're going to do something just a little different here this morning. I'll get to that in just a second. A big thank you to our church family at Oak Hill Missionary Baptist. The little things you do are actually pretty huge. Thank you for all the prayers and blessings. The plan is beautiful. Thank you, Carolyn Davis. We're glad that you're able to be back with us, Miss Carolyn. Amen. All right. Okay, Geesey, I need you. Yeah, you. You're the only Geesey I know. Come up here, please. Can I call you Geesey or do I have to call you Geesela? Okay. I didn't know if that was reserved specifically for Jimmy. God has blessed us greatly with this beautiful young lady, and I had the privilege of baptizing her a few weeks back. And so we like to present people that we have the privilege to baptize with a new Bible. I wanted to give you this so you could use it this morning. So it has your name on it, and so it has in here also all the dates. God bless you, dear, from this church to you. If you wear that one out, holler at me and I'll give you another one. It'll last you a long time and do you a lot of good. Thank you. All right. Okay. Announcements this morning. We've got a lot of stuff coming up and things that are fixing to get really busy with all the stuff. So grab a hold and enjoy the time. Don't forget the reason for the seasons. Thanksgiving, I love it. Seems to be skipped over way too often now. And they just keep moving Christmas up and up. And so commercialization. But we're thankful for the reason for Christmas as well. So keep that in mind as we go through all the motions and all the things. This morning, a special offering for Brother Walter and his family as he continues to go through cancer treatments and inevitably the bills that go with them. So the second time the plate is passed, that's what it's for. Next Sunday morning, the 24th, will be our youth fund offering. Youth fund, well, it bought our van. Pays for the meals on Wednesday night, does a lot of things. So that's what it'll be for. The food list for Thanksgiving baskets is on the table back there. I believe it's full, but if you want to bring something, please feel free to do so. We need all the food by next Sunday morning. So we can take an inventory and make sure that we got everything we need. Next Sunday afternoon, about 3 o'clock, we'll meet here to distribute them. If you gave one of the names, please try to be here. We like to give the baskets to those that gave the names to take. It just helps a little bit. Someday I'm going to have a better voice. I don't have to worry about all this crackling, but y'all are stuck with me. Next Sunday morning. Okay, Thanksgiving week. And that'll be after next Sunday, the 24th. We will have our midweek service on Tuesday, the 26th. Allows everybody to travel or do whatever. Enjoy your family. Be thankful. Give thanks to God during that time. Nursery attendance this morning is Cindy and Jerry Harrison. Next Sunday, Sam and Donna Johnson. Any other announcements I missed?
Page number 168.
Once like a bird in prison I dwell, no freedom from my sorrow I fell. But Jesus came and listened to me, and glory to God, He set me free. He set me free, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I glory found my Jesus to see. For glory to God, He set me free. Now I am climbing higher each day. Darkness of night has drifted away. My feet are planted on higher ground, and glory to God, I'm homeward bound.
Everybody. Man, it's good to see everybody on this chilly Sunday morning. But I like to see those smiling faces out there. That just gives me a charge. See, I'm one of those kind of church members. I come to church to get my battery charged up. Is it anybody else do that besides me? Man, I love coming and getting to visit with my church family. Every time I get the opportunity, I love to be here. There's just a lot of people here that give me a lot of encouragement, and I need all I can get. Being y'all's elected page picker is really a tough job. We've had a good week this week. The weather's been nice. We do have a lot of people out that are sick, and we continue to pray for those. Still have a lot of people out traveling. I'm sure that after mine and Joyce's new grandbaby's born, we'll be traveling back forth to Texas more often than we do now. I'm still praying that the Lord is getting things aligned so that they can move home. Is that selfish?
No.
I'd like to have them home. I'd like to have all my kids back in my house. I don't like them being scattered out all over the place. Anyway, I'm going to quit talking. We're going to sing. We have a good one we're going to do for you this morning. It's entitled, Anywhere is Home.
Mine may never be.
Singing. I know that Gene would welcome other people in the choir. They do a great job, by the way. And I don't know when they're going to practice again, but I like to come to choir practice, not because I can sing, just because I like to listen to them and have a good time. So if you feel led that way, please join them. We're going to be in 1 Kings chapter 16 this morning. Last Monday, November the 11th, marked was a special day. Anybody know what day that was? What else was it? Cindy and I have been here 7 years last Monday. Boy, it don't seem like it. And thanks to y'all and God, we've been here. It's been wonderful. It's been a wonderful time. My prayer is that God leaves me here until Jesus comes or until he calls me away, one or the other. I want y'all to know y'all are the best. The best. Sweetest. I don't know what else to say. I'm going to give you the big head in a minute, but I love being here with you, and Cindy does as well. This is the best church, serving God to the best of our ability. Cindy and I thank God continually for allowing us to be here, and may it be many, many more years. All right, I forgot to mention earlier in our announcement, but on Sunday night at 6 and on Wednesday night at 6:30, we're doing a Bible study in the book of Revelation. And it's been a very good study, so we're not too far into it. So please, I encourage you to come. I try to keep it to about an hour. Some of it's pretty deep. Sometimes we have to go over it a time or two again, but it's been great. So come if you can. This past Wednesday night, we talked about idol worship quite a bit and what that causes God's people to get to whenever they go about worshiping idols. Now, we specifically talked about a path that Jeroboam went down, one of the kings of Israel, and where it led. He was a king after Solomon. Now, I know you know this, but I'm going to say it again. An idol is anything that you allow between you and God. It can be your wife or your husband. It can be your kids. It can be your church. Let me tell you something. This church belongs to God. Amen. It's not ours. We're left in charge of it. We're left here to care for it. We're left here to preach and teach the truth. But this church is not our idol. Been here for many, many years, and I pray that it stays here until Jesus comes back. The thing that I struggle with probably the most in my life is my wife. She's so wonderful. And I know that sometimes I have trouble keeping her where she needs to be because God has to be first in our lives. So an idol is anything. It could be anything. It could be hunting or fishing. It could be you fill in the blank. Now, it's hard to believe, as we read God's word, that Israel could go from King David, a man after God's own heart, and King Solomon, who was the wisest man ever, to a time when they got down to Jeroboam and then others that followed that totally turned away from God. Well, why does God see fit to give us these words? I believe that God doesn't waste any words in the Bible and that they're important to us, because if we're not careful, we could be just like them and lose track and lose focus on where we're supposed to be. How did Israel get from King David and King Solomon to totally disregarding God and worshiping these idols. There were several kings down through there that allowed them to slide further and further away. A lot of times it's a gradual thing that happens to us. We miss church one Sunday. It's easier to miss the next. I can remember back many years ago when I used to think that I could go fishing on Sunday after church and be back for Sunday night church, and it never worked that way. Satan will lead us away in any path. God's chosen people, the Israelites, were led down this path by bad rulers. But I dare say that they allowed themselves to be led down that path. Here we are. King Ahab, do y'all remember him? He was an evil man, very evil. 1 Kings 16:30. Someday God's going to give me a clear voice, and I'm going to be happy. But until then, you're stuck with me. And Ahab, son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. I thought that that was quite a statement that God had recorded here. Think with me for just a minute. Ahab did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him, all the kings. Remember, King David committed adultery, had a man murdered. Remember, King Solomon, the wisest man ever, had all those wives. He brought them in from these cults, if you will, even built them temples and things for them to worship. There were all kinds of atrocities that his children committed afterwards. King David and King Solomon were the best of that whole lot of kings. And they did bad, but Ahab, he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Why? Why? In verse 31, it came to pass as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. And he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. So listen, Ahab married a woman from a foreign country. She was a Baal worshiper. Now, if you know this or not, Baal worship often included the sacrifice of children. The folk, it's a terrible thing to take the life of a child for any reason. But they were offering these children on the idol of Baal. This was God's people, the Israelites, under this evil king that were allowing this to go on. Idol worship was the normal practice in Israelites' leadership at that time. You know, right, that we, the people, reflect the leadership that we follow. Isn't that wonderful that we have a choice? God gives us these choices. They had a choice back then. Many of them did not follow in that path. I find that throughout God's word and through his studies that oftentimes when God's people got sidetracked, got led off down a path that was contrary to God's word, there were always the faithful few that were there. This is very important. Even if we think that we're the only ones preaching and teaching the truth, we still have to stand firm on the truths of God's word. Even sometimes I think that if we're not careful, we look at the world and we look at all the things that are going on and the things that are being taught in many churches today, and we think sometimes that maybe there's not many left out there preaching the truth. I want you to know something this morning. God has a lot of people, a lot of churches, a lot of preachers out there still preaching and teaching the truth of God's Word. But it is our choice to follow God. Seems like a lot of times if you just look and if you take the down beaten path, it seems like that there's so many preachers and teachers out there teaching heresies, but God always has a faithful few. Chapter 17, verse 1. I love these stories. And God gave them to us for a reason. Elijah, y'all ever heard of him? The Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." Now, God told Elijah to go down there and tell Ahab, this evil king, who was totally turned from God, "It's not going to rain. There's not going to be any dew until I say so." Think about that for just a minute. All right? After that, I encourage you to read the story. I'm going to try to just talk through it a little bit to speed up. God told him to go down and find this widow woman and her son and to live with her, stay with her, until such a time that he told him to go back. Now, when you go down and you read this story, when Elijah got down there, this widow woman didn't have enough food even for herself and her son. She was preparing to eat her last meal. She had in her mind that, "I don't even have enough food really to feed us, so I'm going to prepare what I have, and then we're just going to die." Well, what a terrible place to be at in your life. Here God sends Elijah down there, and Elijah wants her to fix him something to eat. Can you think of the thoughts that she had in her mind? Why would God send you? "I can't even feed myself." As the story goes, and as I just love to read that, I want you to know that her coffers never ran dry. As long as Elijah was there, they had plenty of food. God kept replenishing. I think back to the little boy and his five fish and his five loaves, three fish and five loaves. God stretched that. You see, God is in control. Three and a half years, still no rain. 3.5 years, Elijah was down there and the food kept coming. During that time, this poor widow woman's son died. Now, I can't help but think, and as you read the story, that she's thinking, "Here I have fed your man," it even says so, "taking care of him all these years, and now you've allowed my son to die." But Elijah, through the power of God, raised him up and restored him. In verse 1, in verse 18, 1, "And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go show thyself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth." Okay, 3 years, a little over, no rain. Can we imagine how bad it really was? Can you imagine? I mean, we've had a little bit of drought at times in the past. I think of people that have had to ship hay for their cows for miles and miles. For 1 year with no rain. Think about 3. And here's Elijah. God told him, go down there to this evil king and talk to him. This evil king knew because Elijah had told him, God said, it's not going to rain until I say so. It's my fault that you don't get any rain because God told me. Now God's telling him to go down there and stand before this evil king. You know, Ahab had just told him, he said, sent people out searching for little pockets of water and grass so that all the cattle might not be dead. And now here's God sending Elijah down there to stand before him, the man who'd caused it not to rain. Might have been a little tension there, you reckon? Reckon Elijah might have had a little bit of anxiety. But you know what? Elijah was God's man. Elijah knew the power of God. Sometimes, though, I'm afraid that even though we know it, we forget it. Even today, I love the story. 18:17. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? Now think about that for a second. I'm sure Elijah or Ahab is thinking, you're the one that's troubling Israel, not me. But Elijah said to Ahab, Art you not the one that's troubling Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Nathan therefore sinned, and gathered to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him, Not a word. You know what I wish I could tell the world today? How long are you going to deny God? Why halt ye between two opinions? You see, I'm afraid that the thinking process of Ahab's time permeates the world today. People want to follow the one or the thing that makes them feel good in the now, instead of understanding that God has better things in store for us in the future, no matter what the now holds. Ahab knew the power of God. We know the power of God if we but open our eyes and listen. We've seen God work. We have the history of God's work, but we see it even today. Verse 22, then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 400 and 50 men. Listen to what he's telling all these people that are gathered there. I stand alone against all these men of Baal. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves and cut it in pieces and lay it on wood and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock and lay it on wood and put no fire under. Now, they're going to test their gods, our God against their false God. And Elijah even allowed them to choose the bullock. He allowed them to go first. Two identical altars, two identical bullocks. Elijah told them to go first. Pick the one that you choose, prepare it. And they did. And they prayed. And they prayed. And whenever their God didn't answer them, they started cutting themselves with sharp instruments and jumping up and down and running around trying to wake up their God, trying to show their faith, and no fire. Morning till noon, nothing. I can just see in my mind's eye, Elijah sit over there and lean back watching all the things that were going on, knowing that God was in control. Sometimes I think that we need to take a step back in our own life and just sit back and know that God's in control. God has this. Morning till noon, nothing. No word, no fire, nothing. Elijah called them all together. And with the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. Now, think with me for just a second. I dare say that there was nothing more valuable to them there at that time than water. And Elijah said, get 4 barrels and soak the wood. Now, I want you to think about this for just a second. I never am cease to be amazed at how God works. Drought. This wood was dry as kindling. It should have started easily for Baal if he had the power, and he didn't. God's man said, fill 4 barrels, pour it on the wood and on the altar. And he said, do it a second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. And the water ran around about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. This wood was soaked. The ground was soaked. There was a trench around it to hold the water. And it came to pass in verse 36, at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. Listen to me, friend. I believe that when the fire of God fell down, there was a hole in the ground where all of that was at. There wasn't one drop of water left, not one morsel of meat, not one coal of wood. It was time for the people to understand that God is God. Listen to me for a second, church. It's time in our life that people understand that we need to call the power of God down on this world and stand firm. We see all manner of things going on in this world today. But I want you to know something, friend. If God's people, which are called by His name, would humble themselves and call upon God, He is still in control. It's time that people that call themselves God's people quit following after the whims and the fads of this world and started following after the truth of God's word. The same God that consumed the wood, the same God that consumed the rocks and the water and the dust, is still the same God that we serve today. Today we have people jumping up and down, running around, claiming to serve a God, small g, but they're not serving the God, big G. You see, I'm afraid that a lot of people in the world today are listening to those itching ears. They want to hear what they want to hear, and they're willing to go wherever they have to go to hear it. When in all reality, when we come in God's house, the thought and the question on our mind would be, God, how can I serve you? They say that we're all serving the same God, I submit to you that we're not. The Bible tells us that we're to try the spirits. And here's how you try the spirits. Any that come not proclaiming Jesus is a false spirit. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And this world needs to understand that none of us can ever get to God except through Jesus. This morning in our class, we talked some about the wedding feast and the ceremony and how that God had called those from the highways and the byways in to the marriage feast. And that he looked out and he saw one that wasn't properly clothed. And we talked about how would God know. Let me tell you something, friend. The way God knows is that if you're not covered by the blood, you don't belong in his presence. He threw them out. You see, we can go through rituals and we can go through ceremonies and we can do all these things. But if we're not covered by the blood of Jesus, we can never serve God. Listen to me, friend. I'm afraid there's many people out there that are truly believers and that have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior that are not serving him properly. We need to get back to serving the one true God. Why are we here? Why are we here? Well, I come to church, preacher, because it makes me feel good. Great. I'm glad you're here. But let me tell you something, friend. We come to church to serve the one, the true, and the living God, and to worship his holy name, and to give him the praise, because without him, we are nothing. Why are you here this morning? Oh, I believe it's like was said earlier, come to get my batteries charged. I believe that. I can't make it hardly through the week without coming to church. I miss one service and it feels like it's been months since I've been here because we draw on each other and we give to each other. But it only comes from God. I can't give it to you. You can't give it to me. But God can. And when we come together and we study God's word and when we worship his holy name, God fills us up, gives us strength so that we might make it through a long and hard week. How long is God going to allow the things that are going on in this world to go on? I don't know. It seems like it should be close to the end. But I thank God that he's a long-suffering, loving, caring God. And that he would allow us another opportunity to preach Jesus to those that don't know him. My prayer continually is to condition the hearts of those round about that don't know Jesus, that they might hear the word and accept before it's eternally too late. Listen, friend, I believe you're here for a purpose this morning. I don't believe in coincidence. I believe that God has a purpose for each and every one of us. What's God's purpose for me? I've often wondered that. God called me to preach, I have no doubt. Why would God call me and then allow me to have vocal cord cancer? I have this raspy voice. I don't know. You know what I do know? It doesn't matter. As long as I preach to Jesus. As long as I do what he wants me to. Listen, the same applies to you. We're not in control of our situation in this life. We are in control of how we follow God. What is he calling you to this morning? Maybe you don't know him as Lord and Savior. Listen to me, friend. You got to start this walk, this journey of serving God by accepting Jesus Christ before it's eternally too late. It's a gift. It's a gift from God so that we might have this eternal hope, this eternal promise, that no matter what this life holds, Jesus is coming back one of these days. He's going to get us, and He's taking us to a better place. Amen. If you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you don't have a hope of a brighter tomorrow. But that could all change today. All you have to do is trust and believe. Amen. The Bible tells us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I've had people say, "Preacher, saved from what?" You church people say saved all the time. Saved from what? Saved from the penalty of sin. Saved from really getting what we deserve and getting this gift that God gives us that we call eternal life. Truthfully, we get to be in the presence of God forever when we accept Jesus Christ. I don't know what God's leading you to this morning. Maybe God's leading you to become a member of this church. Maybe God's leading you to step out in faith and do something that would glorify God to your family. Maybe God's calling you to preach. "Well, preacher, I'm getting a little older. I don't think it's going to happen." Let me tell you something, friend. I've been saved since I was 8. I've been to church all my life nearly. I was 48 years old when God called me to preach. Why? Because that's what He wanted me to do in His time is all I can tell you. But I can't believe that I'll ever do anything as long as I can talk. And if I get to where I can't talk, I'm going to learn sign language because God's not done with me yet. What about you? Are you willing? What does God have for you? All you have to do, let me tell you, all you have to do is take the first step. Even on my salvation experience, I remember it like it was yesterday, scared to death, because I knew in my heart that if I died, I was going to hell. A little boy, oh, so many years ago, I took that first step. God carried me the rest of the way. I don't remember the journey down the aisle, but I remember the feeling like it was yesterday. When God was calling me to preach, I said, "God, are you sure you know what you're doing?" He does. He will not ask you to do something that He won't equip you to do. What's God calling you to? What's your purpose? Why are you here? Well, I'm here for myself, preacher. Well, let me tell you something. We're here for a bigger reason. We're here for others. We're here for God. We're here for the spreading of His word. Power in the word. God is still the same all-powerful, all-knowing, almighty God who created this earth, who chose to use Elijah, who sent fire down from heaven and consumed it all. One of these days, He's going to send His Son back for us. I believe we have a short time. I could believe it could be at any time when He sends Him back. What are we going to do with the time we have remaining? Ask yourself that. What am I here to do? Because I believe we all have a purpose. God has something for all of us. I've heard people say, "Well, God just wants me to warm this pew." Amen, brother. Keep warming that pew if that's what God's got for you to do. But maybe it's something else. You know. Step out in faith. I want to ask our pianist and our song leader if they would to come. Stand with me, please, for a word of prayer. Father, Father, as we come to you at this time, thankful for your word. We're thankful, Lord, for the stories that you give us that allow us to see your power in action. But Lord, I'm thankful for the things that you show us here and now in this day and time, that you are still powerful, almighty God, and that you're in the business of changing lives. Lord, I thank you for the ones that you've sent our way recently, and I give you all the praise and honor and the glory, and I know that you build this church the way that you see fit, and I thank you for it. As we stand before you today, we pray, Lord, that your will would be impressed upon each and every one of us and your desire in our life, whatever it might be. And that we would have that little speck of faith, just that little speck, the size of a grain of mustard seed. That little speck of faith that can move mountains and step out and follow what you want us to do in our lives. I pray the same thing for this church. Lord, that everything that we do and say would just be in accordance to your will, for your honor and glory, and to serve you better. We thank you most especially for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
Page 185.
Calling for you and me, watching we might step forth in faith. So much for the blessings that he's given us here.
Amen.
This truly is a wonderful church. You know why? Because it belongs to God.
Amen.
I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I do know this, that today we're allowed to be here in the presence of God one more time. I know that many have things in their life that are going on that maybe are many of us are not aware of. God knows. God has the power. God will see you through. I also know this, that your church loves you and that your church wants to be here for you, is here for you, and will uplift you and help you through whatever trials that you might face. Softly and tenderly is the only way that God will call you. He won't grab you. He won't drag you. But he'll lead you to that truth and that understanding that all we have to do is give it to him. You know, I truly believe one of the worst things that ever happened in churches is that the prayer benches in the front were taken out and no one comes down here to this altar anymore and just gives it to God. Because let me tell you something, friend, if you got something in your life that you need to get rid of, right here is the place. Oh, you can do it anywhere. God, you can do it out in the woods by a stump. You can do it wherever you want to. But listen, God is here. The Spirit is here. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I, not the government, not your friend, God, Jesus, will give you rest. You know why and how? Because he has it easy. How can you say that, preacher? Well, he's already conquered death, hell, and the grave. Our Savior lives. He's already fought the battle. He's already won. And through him and his victory, we can win also. Oh, I know it starts with salvation, and that's the biggest decision you'll ever make, but it just starts there. He's with us in this journey. As we sing another verse, give it to God, whatever it is. Do you hear that still small voice calling?
Why should we tarry when Jesus is speaking? Waiting for you and for me. Why should we linger and heed not his mercy? Mercy's for you and for me.
Coming our way this morning. May God bless you for coming.